Our second reading is also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Please listen for God's word to you today. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. When Steve and I got married, Steve had been living in California, and I had been living in New Jersey. Given that Steve had a job in California, and I was finishing my MDiv in seminary, it made the most sense for me to move to California. Consequently, after we were married in the First Presbyterian Church in Plymouth, and after our brief honeymoon here in Michigan, I moved to California to be with Steve. However, I wasn't exactly with Steve, for Steve had just recently accepted a new job which involved extensive travel. So I found myself in California for 6 of the first 8 weeks of our marriage alone. During the 8th week, while I was trying out a new recipe for Hungarian goulash, a dish which I had eaten on our first time on our honeymoon, and which I was determined to master, I was standing at the stove checking on the status of my goulash with the enticing fumes of my dinner wafting upwards when I heard a rattling and a shaking of glass behind me. So I turned away from my pot of goulash and began to walk towards the dining area. As I reached the doorway, I saw the light fixture above the table shaking violently upside down. And as I stood there watching it, then began to swing back and forth violently through the air, I was puzzling over this bizarre occurrence when I heard a crash behind me. As I turned toward the kitchen again, my attention was diverted, for the wall between the kitchen of the dining area was bending and warping in a shape of a sine wave, which was rather disconcerting. Then it hit me. This was an earthquake. You remember I told you a few months ago that I was in California for the Loma Prieta earthquake, and consequently, Steve let me get a dog as a sort of earthquake prize. Well, today I'm going to share with you the gory details of what it's like to be in an earthquake. Back to my story. Watching the distorted wall, I felt a sudden urge to exit the house. As I moved across the kitchen toward the hallway, the floor began to heave and roll, throwing me from side to side, so I pushed my hands and my feet against the wall. Placing my feet at the shoe molding on each side of the floor, I was able to walk and keep myself from being thrown into the wall until I finally got out of the house. When I got out of the house, I discovered that the blacktop driveway in front of our townhouse was bending and warping, rather like the wall inside my house. It looked most like a ski slope with moguls, except for these moguls were shifting and moving and pulsing, which threw me back and forth and side to side yet again as I tried to walk. I noticed that the concrete drain running down the center of the drive was not bending and warping, so I stumbled over to it and straddled it like a balance beam and waited out the shaking earth. As the shaking of the earth began to subside, I watched a wave of water, waist high, roll across the blacktop driveway in front of me and crash against the front of a townhouse situated opposite the built-in swimming pool. Then I watched as the wave of water drained back into the swimming pool, only to roll across the sidewalk and across someone's backyard and crash into the back of a townhouse situated on the other side of the swimming pool. For several minutes, I stood mesmerized while I watched the water from the pool slosh from one side to the other side over and over again until this dampened oscillation finally subsided enough that the water finally stayed in the swimming pool. I was standing there pondering this phenomenon when the phone rang from within the house, and Steve called from Iowa. As I've already shared with you, Steve barely said hello before I roared into the phone, "Grounds for divorce." And Steve, in response, offered up a puppy as a peace offering. 5 minutes later, the phones went dead. Then I looked around me, and I realized that not only was the phone dead, but the power was out, and worst of all, my enticing pot of Hungarian goulash was inedible, for a spice jar had fallen out of the cupboard above the stove and had shattered when it hit the edge of the pan, leaving small pieces of broken glass into the goulash. I contemplated removing the glass and eating it anyway and decided that probably wasn't very smart. But I also realized that with my power out, I couldn't cook anything else. I looked around me and realized that I did not know what to do. I was standing, quite bewildered, in the middle of my kitchen, trying to figure out what my next step would be when I heard a knock on the front door. It was the neighbor from across the drive. Apparently, my neighbor knew that my husband, Steve, was newly married, that Steve traveled extensively, that Steve's new wife was not from California, so he had come over to show me what to do in the aftermath of an earthquake. He showed me how to check for the gas lines to make sure there weren't leaks. He showed me how to check the water line to make sure there were no leaks. He showed me how to check the walls inside the house to make sure there wasn't structural damage. He showed me how to check the foundation outside the house to check for structural damage. He showed me what I should have done during the earthquake rather than running out of the house. He also showed me his emergency supplies that he kept in his garage: flashlights, extra batteries, water, a battery-operated radio, propane, and a camp stove. Then he invited me to join his family for dinner, which he cooked on the camp stove in the garage. Baked beans. Good scouting meal. When we look around at the events of 2020, 2021, and even just the beginning of 2022, it can feel rather like the very earth is shaking beneath our feet. On December 31st, on the last day of 2019, exactly 2 years and 5 months ago today, the World Health Organization was informed of cases of pneumonia of unknown cause in Wuhan City in China. By January 7th, 2020, Chinese scientists had identified the source of the pneumonia as a novel coronavirus. By January 12th, China shared the genetic sequence of this novel coronavirus publicly. The very next day, officials confirmed a case of COVID-19 in Thailand. A few days later, another case in Japan, and yet another in Korea. As of 5:56 a.m. this morning, 388,028,261 cases of COVID-19 have been documented worldwide, along with 5,712,394 deaths. The COVID-19 pandemic seems to be never ending, and we are beginning to realize that our lives will likely never be the same, even at church. As a consequence of this pandemic, we are confronted by repeated supply shortages, skyrocketing housing prices, record high inflation, which among things is other things is putting a great deal of stress, economic stress, on businesses, especially restaurants, which were already weakened by closures during the early pandemic. Add to this that the pandemic seems to have triggered what is now being called the Great Resignation, so that not only restaurants and retailers often have to limit their hours and their services due to staff shortages, but manufacturing, the healthcare system, and the schools are all struggling to find qualified workers. In fact, one article I read this weekend stated that 50% of all teachers now want to leave the field of teaching. Local violence reminds us of the national trend toward tragic school shootings. Local schools keep receiving calls, threats, so that they have to close, unnerving and creating anxiety for the students, making it difficult for them to learn, making it difficult for teachers to teach. We hear rumors of possible war between Russia and Ukraine. We hear of climate-driven wildfires burning in California and in Colorado, where over 1,500 houses were destroyed a few months back. In Australia right now, the fires continue to burn, and the carbon emissions given off have been more than a year's worth of carbon emissions by all of Europe. It's a vicious cycle. This past week, a quote-unquote cyclone bomb hit the East Coast, knocking out power, dumping record numbers of inches of snow. Many people lost their power. One doesn't want to look in the newspaper or watch the news anymore. It's so depressing. When we watch catastrophic events unfold around us, our hearts go out to those whose lives are being impacted by disease, by economic instability, by human suffering of all sorts, by uncontrolled rage directed at the innocent, by natural disasters, by extreme weather. Our hearts go out to them and we say a prayer for strength and courage, for healing and recovery, for wholeness and peace of mind. We pray for those whose lives are being ripped apart, but we also say a hushed prayer, a private prayer of gratitude that we're not the ones that are being directly impacted, and for now, we're safe. When we say those prayers, we are reminded that we live in a broken world. The Gospel of Luke tells us that after Jesus was baptized by John and filled with the power of the Spirit, after Jesus spoke in the synagogue in Nazareth and was rejected by the people of his hometown, after Jesus stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and called out to Peter and Andrew, James and John, saying to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Report of Jesus spread so that after Jesus had chosen 12 followers, his disciples, his Talmudim, and went up into the mountainside where he went to pray with them. When he came down, he was met by great crowds from Judea and Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And in response, Jesus taught them and healed them of their diseases. And he even healed those troubled by unclean spirits. Indeed, throughout the Gospel of Luke, we could read all about Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law, healing the centurion's servant, healing the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years and reached out just touching his robes and received healing. When we hear about Jesus healing all the people who were brought to him of every disease and every sickness and even unclean spirits, when we read about these miraculous healings performed by Jesus throughout the land, and then we remember the story about the feeding of 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water and calming the storms, then, I don't know about you, but I stand in awe of these great signs and wonders performed by Jesus, and I can't help but wonder why. Why does God allow this pandemic, the economic strain, the rain of bullets, the loss of innocent life, the impact on our climate? Why doesn't God fix our broken world? I would suggest that God does not fix our broken world because it is our broken world. If we were to look back at the first chapter of Genesis, we are told that God created man, male and female, to have dominion. God gave us dominion over the world around us. The world is our domain. The world is ours to abuse or care for. Consequently, Jesus did not come into the world to fix the world for us. Rather, Jesus came into the world to fix our relationship with God, and thereby empower us to fix our world. Now, how he did this is, I think, noteworthy. In the Gospel of Luke, we're told Jesus began by teaching and preaching and by healing all the people who were brought to him. Now, in a parallel passage from our Gospel passage in Luke, if we were to look in Matthew tells us the same thing, but Matthew uses a different language to describe it. Matthew specifically stated they brought to Jesus all the sick, those afflicted with diseases and pains and unclean spirits. The language used here by Matthew is, I think, particularly telling, for the word afflicted carries an interesting meaning. In the Greek, the word afflicted means pressed or weighed down. The word diseases and pain also carry interesting meanings in the Greek. The word disease means brokenness. Pain carries with it a sense of torment. So symbolically, we are told that Jesus cured all who were weighed down by brokenness and torment so that they became whole and were given peace. Now, the Gospel of Luke also tells us two other things of importance. First, that Jesus himself not only taught and healed, but he sent his followers out into the world so that they too could teach and heal. And second, that when Jesus completed his ministry here on earth, he did not stop suffering any more than he stopped the Romans from occupying Jerusalem. Rather, as the Son of God, Jesus participated in our suffering, suffering betrayal, suffering abandonment, suffering torture, suffering a broken body, finally, suffering excruciating pain on the cross. As the Son of God, Jesus came into the world to fix our relationship with God. This Jesus did through his obedient life, death, and resurrection. However, in fixing our relationship with God, he did even more. For through his obedient life, Jesus modeled for us how we might have better relationships with one another and with the world around us. Specifically, Jesus modeled for us the proper response to disease and pain. As a Son of God, Jesus came into our world and walked alongside of us and lifted the burden from those who were weighed down with brokenness and torment, bringing them wholeness and peace. So when we witness the harsh realities of our broken world, let us not ask why. Let us rather ask, what can I do? What can I do to walk alongside, to reach out, to lift the burden from those who are weighed down, even if it's only a small thing? Like my neighbor, checking my gas and water lines, checking my house for damage, telling me where to seek refuge next time, and inviting me to eat baked beans cooked over a propane camp stove during an earthquake. Let's you and I, like our Savior Jesus, choose to walk alongside and reach out and lift the burden from those who are suffering in our broken world, and thereby help them to come back to wholeness and bring them God's peace.